Before we begin, let us take a few moments to worship the Supreme One, the Infinitely Compassionate One, the Sublime One, the Supreme Buddha, by chanting the Namaskara 3 times all together and with me.
Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas.
How is everyone doing today? Good? You know, in the past week, for me it was a very interesting week. Well, every week is an interesting week. Every week, for me at least, is a very interesting week. Because in an environment where I have such amazing people around me, of course, every week is a very interesting week. Because within a week, the things I learn, the things I understand, the things that people do to help. So on Tuesday, we had Vesak, right, which is, you can say, one of the most important Buddhist festivals, and especially in Sri Lanka. A festival that is celebrated very extravagantly. You got lanterns hanging around, you got these massive displays of the Buddha's life story on these toran or pandals. And of course, in our monastery, we had an amazing Buddha puja. And it made me question, like, why do we do such amazing things? Because in reality, you know, it's just another day. You know, it's just another, if it was on Tuesday, it was just a Tuesday. But yeah, we celebrate it with utmost, you know, decoration. Like if you were able to see, well, most of you were here, but those of you who may not have been here on the day, the hall was decorated. Like even I can't understand how our Anagarikas, Anagarikas, our monks had planned and executed such amazing decoration. It looked like a palace. If you can imagine what a palace would have looked like 2,500 years ago, it looks exactly like that. It took a lot of hard work, but it all paid off, and it looks amazing. But then the question is, why do we do it? I mean, it's just another day, isn't it? Did anyone feel a complete, like, on Tuesday, did anyone feel a massive change, a massive shift in the world? No, it's just a Tuesday. But we feel it to be such an amazing thing. Another day like that is, you know, throughout our life, every year we celebrate one thing, right, that's very special to us. What's that? Our birthday. Our birthday is a very special day. You know, it comes every once every year. From when you were younger, you're all, you know, all waiting for your birthdays to come up to get presents. Right. As you grow older, you don't want your birthday to come up because you want to stay young forever. But at the end of the day, your birthday comes once every year. And that day always feels very special, no matter what day. It always feels special. But for the rest of the world, is it special? Let's say your birthday is on the, you know, say your birthday is today. Is it special for other people? Or is just special for you? Same with all these other days. Whether it's a birthday, whether it's a holiday, whether it's a bank holiday, or whether it's any sort of special day. Is that special day really special? What makes it special? For example, the 31st of December, such a special day. We're all waiting to hear the fireworks go off. You know, all waiting with our TVs on, you know, or, you know, going around places, waiting for the fireworks to go off, and, you know, at 11:40, you know, you're waiting, and at 11:59, you're counting down, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year. But yet, you know, what changed? Did the world like shift differently? Did, you know, we normally spin one way. You know, on the New Year's, do we spin the other way for like a fraction of a second? What makes the New Year special? And it's very 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 weird to think about this. Different places have different time zones. Therefore, they celebrate New Year's at different times. So for example, you know, if we celebrate New Year's now, 5.5 hours later, will, you know, UK start celebrating. But we're celebrating the same ceremony, same event, same New Year's, right? It's not like a Sri Lankan New Year and then a UK New Year and then an American New Year. No, we're all celebrating the same thing, but at different times. They all feel it to be special at their time. So this feeling of special, where can that come from? Can it come from a day? Can it ever come from a single day? You know, you've probably heard about how people can, you know, especially if you go back to, you know, your school eras. The school bell, doesn't that give you immense amount of joy? Even now, today, if I was to play you the sound of a school bell, you either you feel, right? School started, or you feel, it's either, you know, break time, lunch time, or, you know, end of year, end of school. All from a school bell. You know, same with, you know, work. Or same with any sort of time. Sometimes, you know, when it comes towards, say, you have your lunch break at 12:15. When it's around 11:30, 12, don't you feel it to be special? You know, oh, it's almost 12:15. At 12:15, I get an hour break. And that hour feels really special. Special for who? Is that hour actually special? If it is actually special, everyone should feel it. I should feel it. But at 12:15, do I feel, is it a special time? You should all feel it. But really, what is special? What is special? Because every single one of us has something special. Either a special day, a special thing, a special person. Right? It could be a son, it could be a daughter, it could be a partner, it could be, you know, a house, a car, you know, a lucky penny. You know, we have special things in our life. Now we have to ask ourselves, what is actually special about it? What is really special? Because we like special. Don't we like it when someone makes us feel special? We like this feeling of special. Because what is that feeling? It's a feeling that makes us feel different. You know, this idea of being different, that's what makes special feel so nice, so good, so, you know, so there's a lure to it. Because the idea of special is different. So from the normal way of life, we need something special. This is why, you know, of course, when you work or you're at school or you're learning or, you know, any sort of thing, you know, they always give you breaks. Why? Why do we need a break? Because, you know, we're tired, right? We're learning maths 24/7 and then, you know, you get a break, 1 hour break. You know, we need that. Our brain needs to rest like for an hour. But it's not only that. Because we're constantly looking for something special. Every single moment, we're looking for something special. Tell me one thing that you own that feels special for you. What makes you feel special? Something that you all own. You all own, but you never use. Well, you use it sometimes. Your name. Your name is special. Special to who? Your name is special to who? To you. Because it makes you feel different from the rest. This is the allure of feeling special. Because we want this to feel, we want to feel different. And therefore, you know, if you're in a massive room, or let's say you're at a massive party, and someone says your name, you hear a conversation and your name is said, immediately, don't you go, who said my name? You look and you check, who said my name? Why? Because it's special. So what is this special? What is this special? Why do we feel things to be special? Because if we look at it, why does this feeling of specialness occur? Sometimes it doesn't have a strong base. For example, is this pen special? Is this pen special? What do you think, audience? What do you think? Is this pen special? No, this is a random, whiteboard pen. However, can't I make this special? I don't need to do anything. Look, I can make it special without touching it. Ready? This pen used to belong to Queen Elizabeth. I didn't touch it. I swear I didn't touch it. But now isn't this special? So if I asked you, I have two pens here, one red, one blue, or one black, sorry. If I ask you now, which one feels more special, what would you say? So the black one feels a bit different. Why? Because this belongs to who? This used to belong to who? Queen Elizabeth. But okay. Alright, let's make this feel special as well. Because we can't leave the red out. Okay, without touching it, let's make red special. This red pen was the same pen that Taylor Swift uses to sign her autographs. Now what? Which one feels more special now? This is special. This one? It is special, but not as special. But before, these were just two random pens. This idea of special comes from where? Okay, let's take this one. Taylor Swift's pen. When Taylor Swift signed it, what changed? What changed in the pen? Did the pen's color change? Did the pen's shape change? What part of it changed? You could say, well, her skin particles, her skin cells are on this, therefore it's special. It's got her hand grease, right? Skin oil. Got her bacteria on it. Therefore it's special. But if you look at it, bacteria is bacteria, right? We all have different sorts of bacteria on us. Oil, our natural skin oil, is made from what? Is made from what? If we were to take, say, Taylor Swift's skin oil, very weird topic, right? We take Taylor Swift's skin oil, and we take a random stranger's skin oil, and we, do a science experiment to break it down into its components. Would there be a difference? maybe a small amount of difference in the amount. But if we took it in the elements, if we took it in the form of elements, would there be a difference? I mean, okay, let's say we somehow find a way to get some, say Taylor Swift's DNA. And then we take a DNA of a random stranger. We unwind it, we break it down. How do we know which one is which? How do we know which one is which? How do we know this is Taylor Swift's and this is a random stranger's? Because they are all built the same way. Different combination, but still the components are exactly the same. So why do we feel one to be special, one to be, you know, it's a random? Where does this idea of special come from? So, coming back to the pen. This pen is special because why? It's got Taylor Swift's skin, dead skin cells, bacteria, oil, and whatnot. But if we were to break it down, it is just the same as a random stranger uses a pen. Same thing. But yet we feel this one to be special, not because there's a difference in the pen, but because of what? Difference in what? Difference in how we feel. For example, let's say you didn't know this belonged to Taylor Swift. You know, you go to your friend's house, you see a pen, and you start drawing a flower on a board. Then your friend says, "Oh, wait, did you use the pen? Oh no, that's the same pen Taylor Swift used." Now you start to regret and you go, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I'm sorry." But before you used it, you didn't feel any difference. Because there is no difference in the pen. There's a difference in the feeling. For example, you lose the pen. You lose the pen. You are horrified. Because of what? Because you lost the pen? Or what? You lost Taylor Swift's, the same pen Taylor Swift used to sign, that pen. But in reality, it was just a pen. See, what is so special? What is this idea of special? Okay, let's take a birthday, right? Let's take the 31st of, no, better one, 29th of Feb. Someone is born on the 29th of Feb. They have a birthday every 4 years. Horrible. I had a friend who actually was born on the 29th of February. It's very easy, right? You only need to give him a present every 4 years. Very simple. But let's say someone was born on the 29th. Now, so on their birth certificate, it says, you know, born on the 29th. So-and-so was born on the 29th. But when this person was 30, because of some sort of reason, he had to go back and check his certificates. And something in his certificate didn't add up, so he had to go to the hospital and, you know, look at the records, and he finds out he was born on the 28th. Now, is his birthday on the 29th or 28th? He finds out that he was actually born. No, his birth certificate says 29th, but in reality, in hospital, he was born on the 28th. So he was born on the 28th of February at 11:59. So technically, the 28th. But when they started to, you know, put down the forms and whatnot, it was already the 29th, so they decided to put it on the 29th. But his birthday is now, he realized it's on the 28th. So which day is now feel special? It used to be the 29th, now it's 28th. We take the person, and we throw him onto Mars. Now what day is his birthday? He's going to have to take a calendar, and every single Earth day, he's going to have to cross off until he gets to the 28th. every other day, he's going to cross it off and say, oh, it's now the 28th of February. Oh, it's my birthday. Happy birthday to me. But on Mars years, when is his birthday? So even the feeling of a birthday is just a feeling that we have. And it's a special day that I was born. It's a special day that I was born. Now, something that I know lots of people have, and I used to have as well, is that we have something that's lucky. I had a lucky pen. Right? If I use that pen to write an exam, usually I would get very high. Usually. With some exceptions. Other people, they have lucky. I know a lot of people have lucky coins. They've got lucky clothes, right? Some sort of clothing, right? Which they seem, right, if I wear this, I am officially lucky. So therefore, it's special. Now, this idea of this being lucky, a lucky coin, where does that come from? How can a coin be lucky? How can a coin be lucky? Usually it happens, they're walking down, they see a coin on the floor, they pick it up, say it's a pound coin, right? They find a pound coin. A pound coin on the floor, they pick it up and they say, they decide this is lucky. So when they take it to an exam and they pass with flying colors, they think, this came from what? This came from this. I remember I had a friend who had a lucky pound coin. And it was funny because he would take this coin everywhere, right? Whenever he has something special, interviews, exams, when he's going to, you know, very important places, he'll take this coin and keep it in his pocket. Until the day he lost it. The day he lost it, he was officially unlucky. Right? He still passed tests, but he wasn't lucky. He still passed interviews, but he wasn't lucky. Because why? There was no what? There was no what? Coin? Is that how it works? Is this pound coin actually lucky? Or is it something that we feel it to be? Because if you think about it, how does a coin help you pass a test? What does a coin do to help you pass a test? Does it give you like an extra bit of knowledge? Does it provide you with the answer to question 8? What does the coin do? It doesn't do anything, but makes you feel what? I'm lucky. Feeling lucky makes you feel confident. Confidence is what gives you the marks, not the coin. But we don't realize it's confidence. Instead, we think it's the coin. Therefore, we protect the coin and we say, this coin is amazing. I remember the day the friend lost his special lucky pound coin. He was devastated. Literally, I remember, you know, the moment he lost the coin, he was devastated. He couldn't do a test again, he said. He would never pass an exam, as he said. He would never be able to, pass an interview, he said. He was left devastated. I remember we all decided that we wanted to make him happy. So we actually decided, why don't we take another pound coin and pretend we found it? As good friends, we wanted to make him happy, and therefore we pretended we found it. But by that time, he had already gone over losing it, so we decided not to. But if we were to and say, "Oh, we found it! It was hidden under your bed," he would believe that that pound coin is what? Now what? Lucky or special? That's the special coin. But really, is it special? Is it special? Because this feeling of special is something that we have inside of us. Things outside don't really have that. But when we have something that's special and we lose it or it breaks, now we're devastated. So if we lost Taylor Swift's pen, we're now devastated more than if we lost this one. Actually, if I lost this, would you care? Would you care if I lost this? No. But if I lost this, how could you? you know, that's, you know, it's, you know, it was Taylor Swift's pen, da 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 da, and you would, you know, give me an hour lecture on how special this pen is, and how foolish it was me to lose it. But these are just pens here. You know, Taylor Swift never actually used the pen, but, you know, someone told you this, and now it's special to you. Now, if you lost this, if this broke, someone, you know, if someone used it so much that it ran out of ink, you're angry, not because of the pen, you're angry because the pen in your head, the pen that it was special, is now broken. See, anything that you think to be special, anything that you think to be unique, you feel you can control your emotions. See, it doesn't need to even belong to you. It doesn't need to belong to you. Is it special to you? Is it special to you? It is. Should I prove it? I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to put it down. I just put it down. I didn't. Look, even I didn't even say it was special. You know, it belongs to no one. It belongs to no one. It belongs to the monastery. And it's not Taylor Swift's or, you know, anyone special. It's just an ordinary saucer. But that makes you feel uneasy. Like, if I was to ignore this and continue talking, half your eyes will be like, you know, one eye will be on me, the other eye will be on it, making sure that that doesn't fall. Why? Because this is special. Because, you know, if this was to fall and break, that it's going to be... Like, I remember growing up, I used to be very clumsy. And so, you know, the sound of glass shattering would make me gasp. If I hear a glass shatter, I would... Because that is special. Even though this doesn't belong to you, it is special. It is special. Even though it doesn't belong to you, it is special. It's special than, you know, the rest of the things here. But that feeling is just a feeling in your mind. It is just a feeling that you have. For example, does this saucer care? Tell me, does the saucer care that it's on the edge of the table? Would the saucer say, excuse me, can we stop here for a second? Can you push me to the center? I'm scared of falling. Does the saucer care? This saucer doesn't care, but you care. Why do you care? You care because this is more valuable than if it fell down and broke. That's not as valuable. That's not as valuable. You know, this is more valuable than when if it fell on the floor and it broke and shattered to pieces. That's less valuable. So you need this valuable thing. So this is special for you. But have you not seen vases? A vase that's broken, that's made from shards of glass. Have you not seen a vase made from like glass pieces stuck together? And sometimes it's beautiful. But now that's more valuable. So this idea of special, or another word for special, is this idea of this value. This is more valuable. It's a feeling that we have, that we place. And when we place this feeling of value, now can things control your emotions? All you have to do is make it feel as though it's valuable. And when you receive it, you're happy. When you don't have it, you're sad. And your idea of value changes with time. Remember when you were toddlers, right? When you were, you know, just about walking. If your parents were to dangle, you know, the car keys the family car's keys in front of you, and you know, a box of Lego, what would you have chosen? Oh, car keys, of course, because you know the baby will start driving this car, right? No, the child would choose the Lego because for the child, Lego is more valuable. But when you grow older, you know, when you get your license, now if your parents would dangle the keys and some Lego, what would you choose? You won't think twice before, you know, keys. Thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad, and you start driving and you know, chaos happens after that. But in the end, that value that you felt is something that you place. The value is not part and parcel of the external object. Like I said, the saucer doesn't care whether it fell on the floor. You know, if I was to drop this onto the floor and it shatters, does this saucer care? Let's say, you know, I don't care. You know, I dropped on the floor, it broke, whoops, I don't care. It belongs to me, and I don't care. It doesn't belong to you, but you care. Why is that? Why is that? Because you placed a value. You placed a value in it that isn't there. Objects don't have that value, but you place it and you feel that, you know, this is the most valuable thing I own. This is the most valuable thing I own. I must have this. I have to have this. Because I have this, am I going to be happy? If I don't have this, I'm going to be sad. That's how it works. The value is self-made. The value is self-made. Therefore, you know, this feeling of it broke is also what? Self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted because the plate doesn't care, but you care because you thought that this is valuable, more valuable than the rest. Therefore, when it broke, you're now upset. Not because the plate broke, because you self-placed a sort of value. And then, because of that value, when it broke, you now have self-inflicted pain. You put that pain on yourself. You place that pain on yourself. The things around you don't really care. For example, let's say you're in a rush to go to work. Right? You're driving in your car, you're in a rush to get to work. Now, what is the most valuable thing that you have? You know, the most valuable idea in your head is to get to work on time. But every single traffic light that turns red, every single traffic light, you know, normally when you're rushed and you're, you know, late for something and you're driving, don't the traffic lights always decide to turn red when you come up? It just decides to do that. And it makes you so frustrated. Why does it make you frustrated? Because the idea of getting to work on time is so valuable. Now you're driving. And whenever something happens that's, you know, ruining it, you're now upset. But in reality, let's say, you see, this idea of being late is very interesting, right? Let's say if to get to work, it takes you exactly 30 minutes. Exactly 30 minutes. To get to work, it takes you exactly 30 minutes. 30 minutes drive. You are now late to work. Can you go at the speed of light? Therefore, time, you know, slows down. You know, the faster you go at the speed of light, the slower time is. So can you go faster because you're late? Can you go faster because you're late? You know, normally, when you're late, you decide, you know, if the speed limit is like 30 kilometers per hour or miles per hour, whatever, you decide, you know, I'm late, therefore 31 is okay. Then you say, 31, 32. 32, 33, the only difference is one. And sometimes you don't know it, but you're actually speeding way over. Because you're not focused on the speed, you're focused on what? Getting to work on time. But half an hour is half an hour. Whether you're late or on time, it'll take you half an hour. But then when you're late, you feel this extra amount of what? We've all been late for something, haven't we? You know, it's human, right, to be late. And we all know the feeling of being late. What does it feel like? Does it feel good? I remember growing up, I used to hate being late to school. Hate meaning I remember when I was really little, I would scream at my parents, like, "Mom, we're late, step on the pedal, step on the gas. I don't want to be late to school." It feels like a fire burning inside of you, isn't it? Every second that ticks, more that you feel, this fire grows bigger and bigger. But 30 minutes is 30 minutes. You can't change that. You leave the house at 9, you get into the house at 9:30. You leave the house at 9:05, you now come to work at 9:35. Either way, it's 30 minutes. One makes you feel okay, the other one makes you feel really stressed. 5 minutes can make you feel really stressed. The question is, why do you feel stressed? Why do you feel stressed? Because it's not doing anything. You're not doing extra. When you feel stressed, what happens? Do you initiate flight mode? Right, and your car starts flying. You can fly over traffic. When you become stressed, do you somehow be able to control the traffic lights, turning them all green? When you're stressed, what happens? Nothing happens, but inside this fire grows. This fire is eating you alive. So why do we stress? Because we think coming to work on time is the most valuable thing yet. I have to, I must. We don't realize that no matter what, there is no point of worrying about this. Because you can't control this. You can't control the outcome. What can you control? What time you leave the house? Because half an hour is half an hour. Whether you're in Sri Lanka, whether you're in the other side of the world, half an hour is half an hour. However, you the end output you can't change. But this bit you can. So if you are late, you shouldn't be worried about coming to work late. Instead, you should be thinking what? How can I not be late next time? Because that's the only thing you can do. Because anyway, you're going to come to work late. What you can do is, next time, how can I come earlier? Maybe I should pack breakfast and eat breakfast while driving. Or, I don't know, or ask someone to feed the dog. I'll go and ask someone else to feed the dog. Give the responsibility to someone else. But you should be thinking about the beginning, the causes, then the effect. Because we are very focused on the effect. We are very focused on the effect because the effect is what gives rise to this feeling of special. See, aren't we focused about passing an interview? Aren't we focused on passing exams? Aren't we focused on getting, a new car, a new house? Aren't we focused on, paying the bill? That is all the effect. We can't change effects. We can't change effects. Can everyone hear me? Yes, no, maybe? I'm finding it hard to hear myself. Can you hear me? This is May. May is usually filled with rain, the rain and thunder. Especially, I think, closer to Vesak and the New Year's, that's when thunderstorms peak in Sri Lanka. I don't know about you, but I used to enjoy listening to thunderstorms. But sometimes the lightning is very loud. But it should die down soon. We'll give it a minute for two. A show of hands, if you like rain, if you enjoy rain. Show of hands if you don't like the rain. Show of hands if you would prefer the rain to a hot summer's day, like rain or a really hot day. Which one would you choose if you could choose? See, for different people, different events give different people different feelings. For example, if I were to remind you, you know, didn't you have some clothes out on the line? Oh no, I left my clothes out. Now in your head is what? It's gonna become wet. How am I gonna get, you know, how to get dry? How am I gonna get dry? Or, you know, if you're a farmer and, you know, it's been a drought season for the last couple months, now hearing rain gives you so much pleasure. So is it rain though? Is it rain that brings these feelings? So coming back, we can't control the effect. Because once the effect will be the effect. A good way of thinking, you know, in science, we usually talk about this theory of cause and effect. You know, it's a very scientific term. Science talks about this. We know this, you know, if you were to add, you know, you remember in chemistry and you know, you add two chemicals together and you get a third chemical. You get a product and, you know, I remember we all used to enjoy chemistry because you got to mix chemicals around and see things bubble, fizz, explode, and change color. We enjoyed that because it makes us feel that, you know, I'm adding two things together and I'm getting the third thing. I mean, we feel that a lot. I'm adding two things together and I'm getting a third thing. Let's see if I can remember my chemistry. Let's say you're adding haven't done chemistry in years. That's hydrochloric acid, for those who don't know, it's an acid. And you mix it with this is primary school. No, it's not primary school, definitely not. This is secondary school stuff. So if you remember, right? We had two test tubes, right? One filled with hydrochloric acid, one filled with sodium hydroxide? No? Yeah. See, I still remember this. And we have these two test tubes. And then we put them together. And then we get the product, which is right? Thank you. Now, you know, in science we know about cause and effect. These two, right, product, called these reactants, create the product.
right? Because we added these two, did we get this result? For those of you who don't know, this is salt, table salt, which is really strange, isn't it? Something that could kill you, something that makes food taste nice. You drink this, you're dead. You drink this, you're dead. You sprinkle this on food, it tastes good. Does it kill you? Not really, but excess can. And also, the most harmless thing to consume. See, you can't say it's safe, because even water can do danger. So, destructive, constructive. Danger, safe. That's really strange, isn't it? Because you're putting two special chemicals, two different chemicals together, and you're making something that you could technically, you shouldn't, right? It's a lab, you should never drink or eat in a lab. That's number one rule, I remember. But you could technically drink this and not die. But, you know, in science we talk about this, cause and effect, you know, A plus B equals C and D. But beneath the surface, because that's the cause, that is cause and effect. That is cause and effect. But that's not the same cause and effect that we talk about. Our cause and effect is different. Because if I asked you, how was salt made? How was sodium chloride made? You'll say hydrochloric acid and sodium hydroxide. But can I have, by removing, you know, can I keep salt, but remove this? Can I keep salt and remove sodium? Can I keep salt and remove sodium? You can't, because sodium is part of what? Is it part of salt? Where would salt be if there is no sodium? Where would salt be if there's no chloride or chlorine? Where would it be? So to make salt, do you have to have sodium and chloride together? Is that how you make salt? Or when you put sodium chloride together, when they react together, we call it salt. There's a difference, isn't there? To make, you can't make salt. You can never make salt. For salt to be made, you have to have something. And once salt is made, you can never break something that's made. Once it's made, it's made. But really, salt is an effect. Is an effect of what? Salt is an effect of what? Of sodium and chloride. These are the two causes that keep an effect. So even though we say, you know, this is a cause, this is the cause, these are the effect, these itself are also what? Causes coming together to create an effect. That's why, you know, you can throw this into another equation and you can make a completely different thing. It can make a completely different effect. Because of what? Because this itself isn't the end product. The salt isn't the end product. If it's the end product, then that's all we can do for it. But we know when we digest this and when we consume it and it goes through our body, then this is very important. These two are very important to control the water in the cells. You know, these are very important for sweat as well. Without these, we can't sweat. Without these, you know, mucus and all this stuff, you know, this is why, if you don't have, this is why, you know, this is not the end effect. This is not the end. This is just it being. Sodium chloride is being it. So we can't control the effect. We can only control the causes. We can only control the causes. How do we control causes? Well, again, it's also cause and effect. It's also cause and effect. So when we say, you know, A plus B is equal to C, we're not saying that, you know, to make C you need A and B, because A and B are also what? These, you see, to make something, all right, let's come back to Taylor Swift's pen. We like that. Taylor Swift's pen. If I was to break this down into its components, I'm not saying plastic and whatnot. No, I'm saying let's break it down completely. All right, let's take the carbons. Let's take the hydrogens. I'm guessing there may be some nitrogen as well. Who knows? Some oxygen, and I don't know, some other chemical elements. And we take all these elements. Can't I use these elements to make something completely different? Can't I? Can't I use these elements and make this? The same elements I can use to make something else. But not only that. If I was to break those elements further, and we take it to, you know, its fundamental, its subatomic particles, as electrons, neutrons, and protons, then can't I make the entire world using this pen? Can't I make the entire world using this pen? Because what is this made from? What is this made from? This, all of this. How, what are you made from? Special electrons, protons, and neutrons. Is it? There's a special, you know, there's a special proton called, you know, U proton, U electron, and U neutron. That's what makes humans you. This is what makes you. No, the same protons, electrons, neutrons are what makes what? You. So, if the same protons, electrons, and neutrons make this, and the same ones make this, why do I feel this is more special than this? Why do I feel that this is more special than this? Why do I feel things to be special if everything is made from the same thing? Now, again, you can take the argument of uses, because, you know, this is very useful. This is very useful. Why? Because, you know, it's a mic that, you know, you can amplify sounds and whatnot. But the specialness is something in your mind creates. Because in reality, this does not feel any special than this. This does not feel any more special than this. It's almost as if in a world of everything made of protons, electrons, neutrons, you take special things out and you label it to be special. The problem with that is when you label things to be special, now what? You have to change yourself for it. No? If this was to break, don't you feel the need to be upset? If you lose this, don't you feel the need, you know, to be upset, to be, you know, really angry? It automatically makes you angry because you feel it to be special. If you were to feel that sodium chloride is special, then if something was to happen, for example, we change this. I think that's right. Nitric acid? Is it? Now what? Now what's gonna happen? What happens to this? What happens to this? Where does it go? Now you have a completely different result. You have a completely different result. Now if I was to change this, now what? You get another result. So if you were to say that, you know, I like salt, I want salt. Now you have to have what? Hydrogen chloride and sodium hydroxide. If not, I'm not going to have salt. So if you were to feel that one thing is special, more special than another, you're setting, you know, now you can't stop yourself from being upset. Because remember, every single one of us have a similarity, all similar in one way, at least one way. What's that? We all have the ability to think. And the ability to think comes from where? Comes from this mental process. Now, if we were to break down this mental process and actually strip it to its pieces, for you to think, what needs to be there? For you to think, what needs to be there? For you to be able to think, what needs to be there? Something. Can you think when there's nothing? You're floating in space, just, you know, just your brain and mind, just floating space. Would you be able to think? There has to be something. That something is either sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, or sometimes thoughts. Tell me one moment in your life where you're not doing these six things. When you're not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or thinking. If we were to, reduce life, or reduce what living is, what we feel living is, into its very basic components, it is what we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, and think. Because once we have that, are we able to actually process what's happening? Because that is the purpose of thinking. No matter where you take the idea of thinking from, whether it's a mind or a brain, or whether it's something that a supernatural power has given to you, or whether it came through evolution or whatever, the reason why we think is so we can understand our external environment. So we can actually deal with the external world. So to be able to do that, what needs to be there is there needs to be a stimulus. There has to be something to stimulate the brain or stimulate the mind, to stimulate the mental process. So if we were to break down thinking, we can break it down to six parts. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. Thinking meaning ideas, thoughts and ideas. Ideas meaning memories, ideas, the things that you can think about. That's how thoughts arise. So a thought will arise. So let's say, so we're looking at why we feel things to be special, right? Where does that feeling of special come from? Now, I'm not a good artist, right? We all know this. This is this. Pen, right? It looks like a pen, right? Okay. I have a pen in my hand. Oh,
I have the pen in my hand, but you don't have eyes. Would you be able to see it? I have a pen in my hand. Your eyes don't work. Can you see this? I have a pen in my hand and you are facing the opposite direction. Will you see it? I have a pen in my hand. Your eyes are closed. Will you see it? There's a pen in my hand, but all the lights are off and it's pitch black. Will you see it? There's a pen in my hand, but there's a plate in front of it. Will you see it? Will you see it? There's a pen in my hand. There's nothing in front of it. You're facing me. The lights are on. There's no obstructions. And it goes into your eye. Can you see the pen? Can you see the pen? But what happens if you're not focused? You know, we've all daydreamed, right? You know, you're looking at something and you're just looking and you're just daydreaming, you're in your dream world. And you know, someone can literally go in front of you and like, and you're like, oh, sorry, I just was daydreaming. So you have to be focused as well. You have to give it attention as well. That's why, you know, the cocktail effect, you've heard of it, right? When you're in a party, right, a very dense party, you can hear what, you know, the person is talking, even though there's lots of other sounds going around. Or, you know, a mother can hear their baby cry and not hear the train go behind them. Why? Because attention has to be there. So even though everything is working, your eyes are working, right? Eyes including, you know, the optic nerve, the brain, and all the, you know, all this amazing stuff, as well as, you know, the object is there and you're facing and all this. If all those causes are there, seeing will happen. If one of them weren't there, simply we turn off the light. Will you see this? So for seeing to happen, there has to be, just like, you know, to make the sodium chloride, the salt, you had to have the ingredients. To see itself, you have ingredients. To see itself, you have ingredients. So if you were to say, you know, I can see. What does that mean? I can see. What does I can see actually mean? I can see means my eyes are working. My brain is working. The nerves are working. But also there's light. But also there's an object. You're looking into, you know, just empty space. What are you seeing? Just black. So there has to be an object. You have to be facing the object. And, you know, there should be nothing obstructing the object. So, for you to say, I can see, can you see? Are you the one who's actually initiating the seeing? Very simply, can you, you know, you can say, well, I can't control the outside here. Like, you know, you can decide to cover it up and all or not. You can decide to turn off the light. But, you know, but the internal world, I mean, can you control your own eyes? Can you control your own eyes? Can you control, you know, can you control how, you know, where, well, for example, you know, some of you are wearing glasses. In the future, more of you will be wearing glasses. I'm not saying just you, me as well. In the future, I'll be wearing glasses as well. Maybe. I can't control my own eyes. What about the optic nerve? Can I control that? Do I control it? I'm like, okay, I want my optic nerves to be on. Just imagine you can control that nerve. How easy life could be. No, you know, you're sat down and, you know, you're trying to fall asleep, but the lights are blaring at you. Imagine you just like turn off the optic nerve. And you can just no longer see light, no longer see. How fun would that be, right? But no,
we have to see, you know, we can't control that. Can we control what we think? Oh, you know, the interpretation. I mean, when you see this, can you think elephant? When you see this, can you think elephant? No, the moment you see this, you say, oh, it's a pen. But not any old pen. What pen? The red pen that Taylor Swift used to sign. So where did that come from? Where did the idea of a red pen that Taylor Swift used to sign come from? Because once the message enters the brain, a brain which we, and then we call it a mental process, which is the mind. Once it goes in the mind, what the mind does is it receives it. It receives this image, right? This mental image. Because, you know, you aren't actually seeing, you know, you have no idea what's beyond your eyes. You can only interpret what you see. For example, today I brought along my kangaroo friend here. Right? You know, he's tied up he's right here. Can you guys see my kangaroo friend? I've named him Jimmy. Can you see him? Right, he's right there. Like, he's waving. Come on, wave. You can't see it. But who knows? There could be something there. Just because you can't see doesn't mean that it isn't there. It could be. Because else you can only interpret what your eyes are showing you. And do your eyes always show you the 100%? Or does your eyes always show you everything that's in front of you? Does your eyes always show you everything in front of you? Now, those of you who've learned science know that your eye has a blind spot. Does anyone see that blind spot? Does anyone see it? No, our brain feels it. That's why, you know, you have these optical illusions and whatnot. Because your brain is trying to interpret what it sees. Once it goes into the mind receives it, and now it registers. What is this? It recognizes. And then it comes out with the end idea that this is a red pen. Now that's normal. That's normal for every single person. Right? Every single one of us, when we see this, we have a thought that arises that says red pen. However, there is another process at play. Another process at play that gives rise to a different feeling. So, you know, in the end, you can say, you know, this is the red pen that Taylor Swift used to sign autographs. That's the end thought that you got. However, there's another process at play that gives rise to a different feeling. And that feeling is this is good. This is valuable. This protect at all costs. But where did that feeling actually come from? Because the pen doesn't have that. No one else has that but you. So it has to be something that only you have, that's special within you. You can almost say, this, come back to my best friend Jimmy here, Jimmy the kangaroo, right? If I was to start turning around talking with Jimmy, what would you call him? What would you call me, sorry? If I'm talking with my best friend, the kangaroo Jimmy, what are you going to call me? You know, that's what I'm going to answer. He's lost it. No, he's gone crazy. You know, he's talking to he's called it Jimmy as well, a kangaroo. So if you're seeing something that is not there, we call it crazy. If you're hearing something that's not there, we call it crazy. If you're feeling something that's not there, we call it crazy. Delusions, right? So this pen, does it feel special? Let's ask it. Pen, do you feel special? What would the pen say? Not really. Pen, do you feel special because Taylor Swift used you to sign autographs? Not really. But then for you to feel that. So I'm crazy because I'm talking to Jimmy. But you're crazy because you think this is what? This is what? Special. Now, because so. You can all say it's, you know. Because you have to all agree that, you know, this pen doesn't feel special whatsoever. This pen doesn't have any extra value externally. Okay, all humans disappear. We make all humans disappear. What is the value of this pen? How much money will you, how much money will this pen sell for? If all humans disappear, this pen is worthless. This pen will literally just dissolve into the earth, and you know, the cycle, its life cycle will just continue. However, you feel that no, this is special because that's something that's not in here. So me talking to Jimmy and you thinking this is special is the same. Except one is considered society in societal norms, that's Chris is crazy. But you think it's special, it's okay. But because of this craziness, do you feel that, you know, do you have feelings of, you know, happiness? Happiness meaning not happiness, happiness. Because this happiness comes from what? Happiness comes from this feeling that oh, I just received a crazy delusion. Or I just, I just lost a crazy delusion. I'm going to get a crazy delusion. Something that's based on this idea of, see, you seeing this to be a red pen that belonged to someone is not that not the fault here, kind of. But it's the fault is that you feel this to be special because once it's special, now this can control you. This has the full liberty to say, okay, I'm gonna make you happy. Ready? This is now yours. I'm gonna make you really angry, okay? I'm gonna make you feel, you know, stressed out. How? Gonna make you feel, you know, I'm gonna make you feel hopeful. All because you felt this pen to be special. I mean, this pen has been laying here for the last 10 minutes. Did you feel anything about this pen? Did you care for this pen? I mean, this pen is, look, this pen was there for the last 10 minutes, just laying there. And you don't care about this pen. But this one? Because you felt this to be special. Because once you feel something to be special, now this can control you. However, if we were to get rid of this special feeling, this feeling of special, this feeling of unique, feeling of oh, this is amazing, this is great. Now, if you were to use both these pens, what is the difference? You don't feel one to be more special than the other. Can you now no longer use the red pen? You can still use it. You can still enjoy it, but it can no longer make you upset. It can no longer make you scared. Can't I make you scared using this? Can't I make you scared using this? Oh no, I lost the pen. Now you're scared. Or I said, you know, you have lost the pen. I think one of you have stolen it. Now you're scared. Or you're upset. All because of a pen. A pen that or the feeling of this specialness comes from this delusion. If we were to get rid of it, get rid of this feeling of special, you can do everything that you're doing, minus the stress, minus the, you know, the feeling of needing, the feeling of fear, minus the feeling of being sad, upset, you can live the rest of your life happy. If you realize that this is just a pen, not special, now you can use this, and if someone's to steal this, you'll be okay. You can use this and not be upset that you're not using this. You can live life with a smile on your face. And finally, there's only a handful of people in this world that can die with a smile on their face. Everyone else, they are hopeful. Oh, my children, what am I going to do? I'm leaving behind, I wasn't able to get this. I wasn't able to do that. So many people, right, when questioned on their deathbed, so many people just talk about the regrets in life. Oh, how I wished I was, I became a singer. Oh, how I wish I became, I think the most common is with grandchildren. Usually when the elderly on their deathbed regret not being able to spend time with their grandchildren. So do you think they can die with a smile on their face? No, they're hopeful. They want some more time. That's why, if a doctor was to diagnose you with a terminal illness and says you only have a month to live, and then another doctor says, oh, no, we're going to give you medicine and that's going to help you survive for another 1.5 months. You feel that doctor is so much more special because you want to live to see that one more thing. You want to live to, enjoy, I want to see this pen one more time. Therefore, I cannot die. Now, I'm not saying that we have to be waiting for death and cheering death on. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying we have to be able to be happy no matter what. We have to be able to smile no matter what. No matter what life gives us. If life gives you lemons, right? They say make lemonade. But if it gives you, I don't know, if it gives you a box of nails, now what? Nail-aid? We have to come to this mindset. It's not difficult, but it's not easy either. It's not difficult, but not easy either. Because all we have to do is, all that we have to do is understand, to ask ourselves, why do I feel this to be special? When you look at an old picture of yourself, once you grow old and you open that album once again and you find those pictures of your small self, why do I, you feel this massive wave of nostalgia just wave over you and you think, I remember that when I was X years old, I did this, I did that. Why do I feel that to be special? Technically, why do you feel that to be you? Why do you feel that to be special? Because that's just what? That's just an image. It gives you memories. It can ignite memories. That's okay. But that memory is special. Why is it special? Why is it unique? Why is it, such a great feeling? We have to ask ourselves why. Because we have to remember, if you look at it, everything in this world is against you. Everything in this world is against you. Because why? What is everyone telling you? Take this and you'll be happy. Have this and you'll be happy. Do this and you'll be happy. But in reality, they don't realize that it's because they feel that this is special that it's making them happy. They don't feel it. And not only that, you feel every single thing in front of you, you feel to be special than something else. For example, is this pen small? Is this pen small?
Is this pen small? What should your question be? Is this pen small? What should your question be? Compared to what? Compared to this, which one's smaller? Now this is big. Compared to this, now which one's smaller? Now this. So you are always comparing here, because this is always something that's special. Everything that you look at is special. Think about this. You know, if you remember going to work or, you know, going to school, you know, your uniform, right? That buttons on your shirt. I don't know, have you ever had a button like come off a shirt? Ever had that happen? I remember once going to school. I was late, and I hate being late. And, you know, I think I woke up late, right? Or dad forgot to wake me up for some sort of reason. And I remember, like, putting on the shirt, and I put on the top button, because we have a tie to put on, but put the top button on, and the top button flew, right? Now, that top button was able to make me upset. That small button was able to make me upset, because why? I thought that button was what? Special. I don't mean you call that special. You feel it to be different from everything else. You feel it different. Because if you think about this, which proton, which neutron, which electron is special? Which proton, which neutron, which electron is special? Which one? Is it special? But yet you create this feeling of special from this. You create this feeling that this is special. And now you're opening the doors and saying, okay, now you're special, now you control what I feel. Think about this. You remember when you were in school. Right, or you know, you're in school, and you're with your classroom, you know, with your class, and then there's that one person that you feel to be special. That one person that you feel to be special. Just smiles. What does that make you feel? Oh my God, they smiled. And now you feel really happy because of a smile? Bring back 2 years ago, they smiled at you. Now what do you feel? Oh, okay. So you smile back. But once they become special, now what? Now there's extra. Now if they don't smile at you, now what? Did I do something wrong? What did I do? And now you're now worried because of that. You see, this feeling of being special. I mean, again, now when I say special, I've used special to mean a lot of things here, right? Those of you who know will know. I mean, you know, the word, I don't mean special is bad. Special is good. Each and every one of us is special. Special means unique. Unique in the sense of what? We all have different ways, different minds that arise and pass away at different things. So we are all special. I'm not shunning special and saying special is bad. No, special is good. But when you feel special, when you feel something to be special, you now create this other, this extra. So for example, let's say for Vesak we didn't do anything. For Vesak, we decide to do nothing. Now what? Shouldn't we do something for Vesak? At least make a lantern? At least, you know, maybe just like a card for someone. I had some cards I wanted to show you, made by our noble hearts, for our monks as well, for the the Anagarikas, Anagarikas, and the people who have helped them. They made cards. I wish I had the card with me now. I was planning to, but I had forgotten to bring it. They made a card for everyone who had helped them, and I really wanted to show it to you. Unfortunately, I didn't. But, like, you know, at least a card. At least, you know, at least something, when you do something special. Like for Sri Lankans, when there's a special day, what do we normally have? How do we signify the start of a special day? You have to eat what? Milk rice. Without milk rice, the day does not begin. So every poya, right? These New Year's days, right? There has to be milk rice on the table. No, eating milk rice on another day feels odd. Just feels like a, you know, it's just like, oh, milk rice. But on a special day, they feel so much special. Again, these are just feelings. These are feelings that we've placed in it. See, even ice cream. Would you say it's weird to eat ice cream in the morning? What time should you eat ice cream? What time is the best time to eat ice cream? When is ice cream the best? When should you eat ice cream? Two things. Either on a very hot day, or after a good meal. But if you were to eat it some other time, it feels odd. Now, does ice cream complain? I mean, does ice cream say, you know, you don't eat me in the morning, I have to be eaten when it's really hot. I enjoy melting off the cone, that's why, you know, I should be eaten in a really hot day. Does the ice cream care? No, but we've placed this idea. We've placed this idea. You know, when certain events start to come up, you know, how we have to change things. So like, for example, when Valentine comes up, we have to change to red. Now you have to have chocolates and flowers. So eating chocolates on a normal day feels normal, but eating chocolates on Valentine's Day, that's different. Why is it different? Because of its extra feeling that comes from from the Jimmy the kangaroo, this craze, this delusion. You know, we have certain foods that we eat only for breakfast. We have certain foods that we only eat for lunch. Like, you know, you normally don't eat pancakes and waffles for dinner. Those are normally, we call them breakfast food. So it's sometimes when people do that, you feel it to be odd, weird, but really in reality, there's nothing like that. Oh, you tell me. Imagine you eat dessert before you eat the main course. So you first eat the cake and then you eat the pasta. That feels weird, right? That's odd. Like, no, you don't do that. You normally have to eat the pasta, the main course first, and then dessert. But in your stomach, does the main course go into one stomach and the dessert go to a different stomach? Is there like a change or difference there? I mean, does your stomach know which one comes first? Does your stomach know? So if someone was to eat dessert before their main course, does it matter? But, you know, the delusion is, no, you have to have what? Main course first and then dessert. If not, we don't like this. This is strange. This is weird. Right? This person has to, you know, we're going to no longer associate this person because they eat dessert first. I mean, why? In reality, does your stomach care? Now, something that we do in the monastery, and that is, you know, our monks, we have everything in one bowl. Everything in one bowl. Right? And now see the Shravikas, Shravikas, Anagarikas, Anagarikas. And we have everything in one bowl. Meaning, if it's rice and curries, if there's fruits, if there's cake, if there's anything, it goes in the one bowl. Does your stomach complain? Does your stomach say, oh, no, 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 no. You have to eat the rice first and then you have to put the cake. Does your stomach complain? Technically, if we were to blend all the foods together, right? Blend it all together and make a passageway that passes your tongue, or even better, we give you a medicine that numbs the tongue. You can no longer taste. And we feed you this so-called smoothie. Rice, dal, soya, salad, cake, ice cream, papaya, banana, smoothie. Your tongue doesn't taste anything. You would enjoy it. Enjoy it in the sense of you would drink it and feel okay. But once your tongue starts to work, oh no, no, this, I don't like that. I don't like that taste. That tastes a bit weird. That banana and rice, or papaya and salad, those don't work. That's why, you know, we have, you know, there are many, many, many forums online that still are arguing whether pineapples belong on pizza. I mean, your stomach doesn't care. Your stomach doesn't say, oh no, pineapples can't belong on pizza. Your stomach doesn't care, but yet your mind gives this delusion that this is how it has to be. This is how it needs to be. And therefore, when someone does something different, you feel odd. You feel weird, you feel grossed out. See, we have to come back. We have to come back and ask ourselves, why do I feel this? Why do I feel sad? Why do I feel disgusted? Why do I feel angry? Why do I feel scared? Because once you start asking the question why, you realize the base, there is no strong base for you to feel it. The further you ask, you realize that you are creating this massive building with no foundation. By asking the question why, you're just tipping the building over. See, why do I feel sad if this is broken? Because I feel this to be special. What in this is special? So can you feel sad? You feel sad. Okay, you feel sad. Why do you feel sad? Because this broke. Why do you feel sad that this broke? Because you thought this was special. Is this actually special? No. So can you feel sad now? You feel angry that someone... you feel angry that someone promised that they will come with you to go somewhere. Last minute, they change their plan. You are angry. So if you ask yourself, why am I angry? I'm angry because this person decided to change his plans. But if you ask, why do I feel angry? It's because I have this idea. I have this idea that this is how it should be. Because that's special. That's my expectation. That's my hope. Or this is what I want. Because of that, am I upset? Not because they changed their plan last moment. Because you wanted, because you thought that this is how it's supposed to be. Because you think that this world has to go the way you want it. I mean, that's a slightly bit selfish, isn't it? You want the world to go the way you want it. Now there's 8.8 billion people in this world. All 8.8 billion people want the world to go in their way. Which way should the world go? To whose way should the world go? To yours or to theirs? To his or hers? Whose? See, we have to come back and understand that this world is, you know, this world, or the reason why we feel upset is because of what? Because we feel that this is the way it has to be. We feel that this is how I want, this is what I want.
because this is what I feel to be special. You know, I must pass my exam because that is what I want. That's what will make me feel special. I mean, the more and more you think about this, the more you are freeing yourself from the own, you know, from your own cage of suffering. You are caging yourself by putting yourself into this idea that everything should work the way I want it to work, because that's what makes me special. That's what makes me feel good. This is what makes me feel special. If the world works the way I want it. If you were to realize the world doesn't work the way you want it, the world works according to the causes, according to the environment, according to how the world works. Or in a better way to say, a better way of saying it, if we were to understand the nature of nature, now you're not upset. Now you're not going to be upset. You can't be upset, because now nothing can make you upset. You are incapable of being upset. Nothing can make you angry anymore, because you realize that everything in this world is working not the way I want it to work. Everything works in a certain way. If I work hard, if I study, if I do the tasks I'm set, if I learn, if I pay attention, then passing the exam will happen. Not because I want to pass, because passing is not under my control. Instead, according to what you put in, according to your input, will you have an output? You know, lots of us, what we do is, it's almost as if lots of what we do is we sit right next to an oven and hope and pray there's a cake inside of it. That's what we do, lots of the time. We sit outside of the oven and we hope and pray when we open there'll be a cake. When we didn't put anything in there in the first place. Just hoping and crossing your fingers and, you know, doing whatever you can, hoping that there's going to be a cake inside. That's what we do normally. But you have to realize that for there to be a cake, do you have to make cake? No, for there to be a cake, you have to put in the ingredients. You have to put in the causes. Once the causes are there, cake is going to be there. Now, whether you don't need to be outside hoping for cake. You know, if you put the cake batter inside the oven, you'll open it and there'll be a cake. See, all we have to do is understand the nature of nature. Understand that the world doesn't work the way that we want it. Instead, according to the causes, will there be an effect? We have to get rid of this delusion that this world is the way I want it. This world is something special. Removing that, we can live life doing exactly what you do. See, a lot of people have this idea that, you know, if I understand this, I'm gonna have to change the way I live. I can no longer do the things that do things anymore. No, you can do everything that you are doing minus the fear, the grief. Minus the sadness, the stress. That's all we have to do is understand. Understand, put a full stop. That's it. But like I said, it's easy, but it's hard. Because through your entire life, you've only thought that, you know, like, when was the last time you actually questioned whether what I'm thinking is right? When do you question, am I thinking the right thing? Or am I thinking in the right way? We don't question that. We think, what I think is right. What they're thinking is wrong. So what do? I change them. I don't question myself. But here, what I'm trying to do is trying to ask yourself, like, am I thinking right? Is this actually valuable? Is this actually special? Why am I feeling sad? You know, when you feel really upset, we all do this, right? When you're upset and you're really upset about something, you always call a friend who you know is gonna do what? Understand and confirm that you should be upset. Because we like that. Because we like being confirmed that what I'm doing is right. We hate those people who says, you know, why are you angry? You shouldn't be angry. You know, it's just this, that, and this. We don't like that. We like when people confirm. That's why, you know, when you're angry and you tell someone else, if they don't become angry, we're upset. You know, you're really angry, right? Or you're really stressed. Okay, let's say you have a test coming up, an important test, a very important exam. And now you're stressed, you know, you're sweating, you're pulling all-nighters and whatnot. And you go tell a friend, you know, I've been stressing, this test is so important and whatnot. And this friend goes like, ugh, it's just a test. Don't care about it. What do you feel? This is not a friend. This is not a friend. This is just a, you and me, we're no longer. Because you want people to agree. You want people to agree with what you're feeling, to confirm, to feel what you're feeling is right. So this is why this is why it's easy but hard. Understanding this is very easy. But to put it into one's mind is incredibly difficult because you're going against what you normally do. Normally you're angry and then you fight the person who you're angry with. Fight either physically, verbally, or mentally. You become sad and you do something to get rid, or you do something for the sadness. Never do you do something to get rid. Never do you want to understand, why am I sad? Where does sadness come from? And that's what digs us into this hole. If you get out of it, you can finally die with a smile on that face. Nothing can affect me. You know, people can praise me, people can scold me, people can destroy my world piece by piece, or build my world piece by piece. But my inner peace, my inner happiness, no one can take that away from me. You know, for example, fires. You know, the elements can destroy the things you own, but they can never destroy your inner happiness. You know, your house can be on fire. You know, tsunamis can go and ruin your houses. Floods can ruin your houses, cars, and everything you love. You know, the air, or, you know, tornadoes and hurricanes and all this stuff can destroy everything you own, everything you love. But they cannot affect your inner happiness. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you are, no matter who you become, at the end of the day, it's your happiness that's the most important thing. At the end of the day, it's your happiness that's the most important. Like we say all the time, you all have lived such an amazing life, going through so much turmoil, going through so much stress. Don't you think you deserve to be happy? And that's why, you know, our monastery, we are a firm believer that everyone deserves to be happy. Not a happiness that can be taken away, a happiness that is permanent. The inner happiness that's permanent, that cannot be taken away. That's why I am a strong believer, no matter who, everyone deserves to be happy. And that's compassion. That's the compassion that you know, the Mahasangha has, the Bhikkhu Bhikkhuni Upasaka Upasakas, Anagarikas Anagarikas, Sita Shravikas Shravikas, you know, our devotees, everyone has this idea of, you know, everyone should be happy. And, you know, like if you look all around the monastery, everything, you know, on Vesak, right, just after Vesak, I was able to walk around the monastery, right, to admire the decoration as well as just look around. And the one thought that came in my mind constantly is, everything here was done to make a person happy. Everything was done to make a person happy. Think about it. The decoration was to make someone happy. The lanterns was to make someone happy. Not to make them happy, the person who made it, but to make others happy. If you look at, you know, the kitchen, for what? To make the, you know, make the person who made the kitchen happy? No. To make everyone happy. For the happy, or for everyone. The buildings, everything. It's for the happiness of all beings. So keep that in mind. That no matter what, everyone deserves to be happy. All minds deserve to be happy. Regardless. Because that's why, that's what makes us different from others. Other species. You know, humans have evolved to have an intellect, right? Which can do things, can understand the world. You know, while, you know, physicists are looking to look at how to explain the universe, astronomers are looking for the furthest stars, you know, divers are looking to look for the deepest trench, right? We're looking to understand ourselves. We don't need to. I don't want to understand the entire universe. I want to understand myself. The thing, at the end of the day, what really matters is how happy you are. At the end, because we all know that at the end of our lives, it's coming, whenever. But we have to die with a smile. So keep that in mind. So before we conclude, let's take a few moments to transfer merits and conclude today's session. Let's take a moment to transfer the merits we acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, Nisan Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today, so first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of the Lord Buddha's teachings, and with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down the generation of noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's all take one transmission that we have acquired to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all the chief players of the chapters who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to the betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget among them will be the monks and nuns resident in your local temples and nunneries, who have always been by your side to thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let's also take a moment to transmit merits to Guru San Nansi, as well as all the other monks resident at the monastery, as well as the Anagarikas and Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's also take a moment to transmit merits and express our gratitude to those who make great effort to disseminate the teaching of the Buddha, be that by transliterating sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of the merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer the merits we've acquired to our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for the sake of merits continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, and medicines, as well as those who pass on their know-hows and their well wishes. May the power of these merits, may they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. souls during the moment of transfer, marriage to our mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employers, employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us, assist us in any shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they be healed in physical and mental ailments, may they overcome any obstacles in spiritual progress, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits with devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, primarily the Sakadeva, as well as the numerous garden deities who have committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasana. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our garden deities, who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of these merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those who have been friends and family to us in this infinite long journey in Sansara, to all those who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in any shape or form. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the armed forces, as well as the police force, who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those who've lost their lives in the war, be their friend or foe, rejoice in the merits acquired today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those who lost their lives in natural calamities, such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, and pandemics, reminding us that among them will be those who've been friends and family to us in the long journey of Sansara. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to them. May by the power of these merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve. May through the power of the merits and blessing of all the merits required the other day, we have been witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arithanvanses, Arathmahinvanses in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits acquired the other day, you and I and everyone who made this program a success become an Arithanvanse or an Arathmahinvanse in this very life in the era of the Gautama, Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of Vichapuchem be with you. The Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnen midetnva Dvesha ginnen Detnva Moha ginnen Midetnva Nibbana Parama Sukhayin Sukita Taravetnva Nibbana Parama Sukhayin Sukita Taravetnva Nibbana Parama Sukhayin Sukita Taravetnva Mamada Siyalu Loka Siyalu Satnvayo Nibbana Parama Sukhayin Sukita Taravetnva Nibbana Parama Sukhayin Sukita Taravetnva Nibbana Parama Sukhayin Sukita Taravetnva Raga gini niveva Dvesha gini niveva Moha gini niveva Nivan sapa labeva Nivan sapa labeva Nivan sapa labeva Tunrongi, Susyananta Mahaguna Bilin, Sri Loka Sri Satyam, Nibbana Paramasukhayin, Sukhitaritva.